The WGN Sunday Night Radio Special is on the air. I'm Bob Surratt.
I'm Marianne Murciano.
Good to be back with you again. By the way, should this shirt be tucked in?
Yes.
Tucked in or
yes.
Tucked out?
No, tucked in.
Like this?
Yeah, you look really good. Do we have a television camera anywhere around here? You know what? I'm really, really happy that you no longer wear your gigantic balloon baggy pants that have not been in style with giant pleats in the front for a long, long time.
They're now coming back. You made me throw out my collarless shirts, and they're coming back.
No, don't ever wear those.
Well, let's do two Sunday Night Radio specials tonight.
I'm all for it.
Number 14, Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks, and he's holding up a picture of, that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger with Ernie's face on him. Who is that?
That's me.
Is that you? That is a very fit.
That's what you talk about with Bob.
Yeah.
This is the way he needs to look, and I told him he should be bodybuilding. Talking about tucking his shirt in and
yes.
all that.
Is that why he was asking me about that? Because you told him to tuck his shirt in?
Yeah. About bodybuilding.
Yeah,
no, he told me I should have a more muscular body.
You know what? I'm always talking to Bob seriously about being skinny fat. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And he's got a trainer, so it's no excuse.
There is no excuse. I know. Is this really true? You guys were talking about this?
When Ernie walked into the studio tonight before we went on the air, he showed me that picture of some muscle man, and Ernie's face is plastered on the guy, and he said, "This is what you should look like."
Yes.
Okay. You need to come over our house because we're always talking about this. Yep. I don't want him to look like that.
Why not?
Well, because he wouldn't be able to go to work. That's all he would be able to do would be to build.
Well, that's what life is about.
Well, you know what? I agree.
Well, Ernie, what did I
we
tell
just,
you? I told Ernie
to
that the women
win
don't
the
like
lottery.
The women don't like that super duper muscular look.
Well,
it turns females off, doesn't it?
I don't think it turns them off.
No, it does not.
No, it does not turn them off. Speaking for myself, it's not a turnoff. It's just that it would take so much time to build up to that kind of a body.
And then I told Ernie people would be distracted. I'd be doing the news, and nobody would pay any attention to what I say. Well, maybe they don't anyway, but they'd just be looking at the muscles popping through my shirt.
And that's what's the most important thing. They don't hear what you want to say. They want to look at your body.
Exactly. The ratings would go up, don't
yeah,
you think?
Sure.
Everyone in Chicago would be watching Bob on Fox
that's
at
correct.
9 p.m. every night because
that's
his
correct.
Muscles are breaking out of his shirt.
That's correct.
Now, you've had this problem before, right, Ernie?
What's that?
Being too muscular?
No. No, I did not. When I came to the Cubs, I weighed 159 pounds. I mean, they wouldn't even let me go. I was going had a job down in Puerto Rico, and they wouldn't let me go there because I was too skinny. I had to stay home and gain weight so I can be stronger for spring training.
What were you doing in Puerto Rico?
I was going to manage down there.
In the winter, you mean?
No, I was going to play down there.
Ah.
When was this? Like around what year?
55, around in there, 54, 55.
And they didn't want you to get worn out.
Well, you know, I have no weight. I didn't have any weight. I was just so skinny. I mean.
So where did you get your, if you were so skinny, and you were skinny because you had been skinny all your life, right?
Yes.
Where did you get your power?
Oh, it was in his wrists, right?
Well,
from the legs, right?
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You tell me where you got your power.
Where did you get your power?
Your power, because you look at a really thin person, and you don't think that they're as strong, you know, or
that they're going to be able to hit the ball out of the park.
They're going to be able to hit the ball like that, yeah.
Well, I don't know. When I walked into Wrigley Field, I just thought about the song that Peggy Lee. You heard of Peggy Lee?
Yeah.
She had a song out. Is that all there is, my friend? Let's keep on dancing. So when I looked at Wrigley Field, saw the vines and all that, and how close it was. I was saying to myself, is that all there is?
Really? Because you thought it was so close?
Yes, I really did. I just couldn't believe it. And Wrigley Field has been my home. I mean, I just fell in love with it. Like many people who come out there now, you just fall in love with the ballpark, the way it looks, the structures of it. You see the mines empty in the wintertime. The summertime, it grows. And I mean, it's just a wonderful place to play. So when Phil Cavaretta, he was the manager, came up to me and said, "You're playing today." I mean, so I just looked at it, almost fainted, and we lost the game 16-5 or something. And I just fell in love with it, but I don't know where my power came from. The wind always blew out.
Oh, so it was the wind. Yeah, you were a lucky guy.
Yes, right. I played at a ballpark where the wind was blowing out just for me. And they were, there's a saying that people have told you all, the wind is always at your back. And that was at my back at Wrigley Field. And that's, I would, you know, had a swing that I swung up on the ball and the ball went out of the air.
That's a really nice, modest thing to say, but I'm sure you would have blown it out of any park.
No, I would not.
He had the wrist action going, Marianne. It was all in the wrists, and then I think a lot of power came from the legs. I'm answering because this is going to be an hour where not all of Ernie's answers will match your questions, so I'm just trying to jump in and help.
But he eventually comes around.
He does. It's surprising,
yes,
isn't
I
it?
Yes, I know, yeah.
You had Hank Aaron. You know, and Hank Aaron had stronger wrists, Willie Mays.
I had a great idea coming into the studio tonight. You know the Marilyn Monroe statue out here, which people take pictures of? It's a tourist attraction. And I think it's going to be taken down.
I think in May is what
right?
I had heard. Yeah.
So why not replace it with a statue of Ernie? I know there's one outside Wrigley Field, but,
right, but
there should be two statues. Get it? Let's have two statues.
I love that.
And then that would be a much better representation of the city of Chicago for people. We got all these out-of-town folks coming and taking pictures of a woman with her dress flying up.
Well,
I'd rather have Ernie Banks out there for them.
Yeah, well, you got Jack Brickhouse right next to her.
That's right. You'd be near Brickhouse again.
I think that would be great, but you would have to do something that would be provocative, you know, because Marilyn's skirt is blowing up. That's the wind. So what could you do posing for a statue maybe that would be provocative that would make people come and want to take pictures under like her skirt?
Well, it just looked like the muscle man in that picture Ernie's got there. And it looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger's body with Ernie's face
Me and you, Bob.
Yeah.
We'll do the same day. We'll get a lot of attention like Marilyn Monroe.
Looking like that bodybuilder.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and then we're going to spend the hour with Ernie Banks. And as I said on Fox Chicago News on my One More Thing recently about Ernie, he said at his statue dedication at Wrigley Field, the great thing about this is I'll be here even when I'm not here. And I talked about that and how Ernie – one of the great things is that he's around, he's in the game, he's visible, we get to celebrate him, we get to tell him how we love him and how we feel about him.
And now is the time for that statue.
And now is the time to tell Ernie all this stuff, because after all, what are you, 39 now?
Well, tell me about this. This is what I really have understood. Playing all day games at Wrigley Field, we didn't win. All my career was playing daytime baseball. We didn't win, and people still remember me, like you all remembering me and a statue and all of that. Normally, it's people who won championships.
Right.
It's not somebody who didn't win a championship, played all day game. All the game was televised. Our home games, more than any other team in the major leagues. I was on television more than Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and all other players that played during my time. But we didn't win, and people still remember me, so that's amazing to me.
You're a winner.
You're awesome.
And you're a champ. Ernie Banks on the Sunday Night Radio Special. More on WGN after this with Bob Surratt and Marianne Mercian. Back on the WGN Sunday Night Radio Special with number 14, Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks. Whenever I've interviewed Ernie over the years and told people I was going to talk to him, they always ask me the same thing. Find out if he's always like that. Is he constantly happy, positive, and optimistic? Are you?
Am I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Always?
The wind's at his back.
When are
you
in a bad mood?
The wind, you just said it. The wind is at my back. It's just wonderful. I mean, my whole life is going to another level and being around interesting people and learning from them. But Jackie Robinson told me, listen and you'll learn. And that's what I did all of my life. I just listened to people, didn't talk a lot, and learned a lot. I learned a lot from Gene Baker. He started here with me with the Cubs, and he would, you know, tell me how to play different positions, how to swing, how to do this and that. you know, don't go here, don't go there. And I listened to him. He's a little bit older than me, but he's a remarkable person.
Was there a lot of pressure, or did you feel the pressure of coming into a predominantly white game?
No, I did not. I mean, I thought about how my life would be coming from a segregated society with the Kansas City Monarchs into an integrated society. So it was a wonderful experience for me to learn about other people, their culture, just listening to them. You know, we had Ralph Kiner, Hank Sauer, they were all playing for the Cubs at that time. So I just watched them, listened to them. And
what made you listen? Because I want to use that on my 11-year-old, who, by the way, was so excited that we were going to see you today, that last night during dinner, she stopped eating dinner when she heard, you know, that we were going to talk to you, and started looking for something that you could sign, and she could not believe it. She wanted to take the day off from school because we were going to see you today, and she wanted to be here with you. But anyway, back to listening and learning. Who taught you that? How do you teach a kid that?
Well, I got it from the basketball player. He played for Ohio State. I can't think of his name. Bob Lucas. He had a program where he trained people out of sports how to listen. Just listen and learn. Listen to, you know, so you know their name and where they're from and what school they went to. And I did a lot of that when I became a first baseman for the Cubs. I did a lot of that to a lot of the players who got on first base, luckily, against the Cubs. I would say things to them. They look at me and, I mean, how did you know that? I knew everything.
Because you were taught then? You were actually trained by somebody to listen?
To listen.
You alone, or was it a class? Or
just
what?
Me. It was a class, but I did it alone.
Right.
But I just learned, you know, like now, I mean, learn somebody's name and where they're from, what school they went to, how many children they have, their wife's name. And I just knew all of that.
I hear that Ernie would even tell
That's unbelievable.
Players who got to first base when he moved from shortstop to first base, Ernie would talk to the opposing player who got to first base, and he'd tell him to go out on Rush Street.
Yeah. Oh,
hoping what, Ernie? If you told them to stay out, go out on Rush Street, you wanted them to stay out too late, right?
Well, they did. A lot of them did.
And then the next day, Cubs have an advantage.
But I knew that. You know, I knew that when they came to Wrigley Field, you know, day baseball, they played all night game, and they think about Rush Street. They want to go down there. And I did that to Richards. You remember him, a pitcher for the Houston Astros?
Oh, the big guy.
Yeah,
J.R.
J.R. Richards. I asked him, are you going down on Rush Street? He looked at me, yeah, how did you know?
were your parents like that? Is that where all this attitude and listening and optimism comes from? What was your mom like? What was your dad like?
My mom was, they were the same way. My mom and dad was, you know, that way they just listened and learned. My dad just could do everything. He was a little bit older than my mother. But they just listened and learned. I learned that from them.
Did they have like a really positive outlook on life? Do you attribute your attitude in life to being raised by people like that?
Yes, that's correct. What I thought about, and they told me this many times, Ernie, be satisfied with what you have and miracles will happen. How you say miracles in Spanish?
Milagros.
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 Milagros. What happened? And that's what happened in my life. Because my daddy worked from sun up to sundown, and I used to look at him come in, go out, and say, one day, I sure like to have a job working in the daytime where I can be home. 5 years later with the Cubs, I looked around and said, no lights here. I'm in a place where I don't have to work all night long, or get up in the morning when there's no sunlight.
What did your dad do?
My dad, well, he worked at a grocery store. He was a porter, but he could make anything. I also learned a lot of that because I didn't play in the minor leagues.
You went straight to the major leagues?
Yeah, I didn't want to play baseball.
Well, from the Negro Leagues, from the Kansas City Monarchs.
Yeah, I didn't want to play baseball. They signed me up to play. And when I came to the Cubs, they moved Gene Baker from shortstop to second base. He played shortstop in L.A. And my dad could do anything. What I learned from him is just how to do anything. You just do it. You don't train to do it. You just have the natural ability to do it. And that's what I did when I came to the Cubs. I had no real training in it per se, but I just did it.
He did 512 home runs. He did.
Yeah.
I got that number right? Is that right, Ernie?
Yeah.
512, yeah.
I think.
And let's see, career batting average, was it 277?
Four.
274. Yeah.
And that's what, and by the way, not that it's a big deal, but that our daughter, who's 11, she, one of the many things that she loves about you is that 512, because that's her birth date.
Oh, wow.
512.
Wow.
So she
and
talks about that.
When
wow.
she plays sports with the Park District, she always asks for uniform number 14.
She's
wow.
always plays 14.
Yeah. And I tell you, you can't take that. It's retired. No,
oh,
I don't.
I got to meet her. I got to meet your daughter, really.
Let's get a quick break in here. Bob Surratt, Marianne Murciano, and Ernie Banks, the Sunday Night Radio Special on WGN. More after this. It's an hour with Ernie Banks tonight on the WGN Sunday Night Radio Special. Ernie, with all of your records, your accomplishments, Gold Glove, Hall of Fame, statues, retired number 14, is there a baseball accomplishment that you're most proud of?
Baseball?
Or any accomplishment for that matter.
Yes, it has nothing to do with baseball.
Really?
I've always been a person that I don't want to know people know what I've done. I want them to know who I am. So I know what I've done. I want to know who I am. And I never got around to that. I was thinking about that. But my greatest joy was having an audience with the Pope at the Vatican.
Oh,
Pope
wow.
Pope John. And
what year?
Spoke English, 1969. He spoke English, and he remembered me.
Really?
And you remember the Cubs.
That must have been amazing.
Pope John.
So what did you guys talk about, if you can say?
I just listened. He was talking about my name and the team and the Cubs and daytime baseball and all of that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Pope John.
One of the things that one of the billions of things that I love about you is that, and that, the reason that I think you are still so young is that you always want to do more. Like, you just told me during the break that one of the things you want to do is learn Spanish. Like, you want to learn Spanish. And it was always the case with you, right? Why did you have an interest in it?
I've always had that, you know. It's just, you know, because I played with Tony Taylor. I played with a lot of guys from Cuba, the kid in Minnesota, Zolo Fazai from Cuba. Yeah, that's played with it. I was always fascinated being around them. They speak the Spanish and they speak English, and I wanted to learn how to speak Spanish real bad. And I went to Northwestern to take some classes in Spanish. And I always wanted to learn things. I always had a sensational appetite of learning things, learning more, and doing more.
You can get free Spanish lessons from Marianne if
yes.
you teach me how to hit the softball better. How's that for a deal?
How to hit the softball better.
I've been in a slump for 7 or 8 years, and I can't pull the ball anymore. I lost my power.
Well, you don't want to pull the ball in softball. You want to hit the whole field, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I kind of feel like when I was a kid, I hit for more power, and I did pull the ball. Well, so maybe I
what
should
does that
not,
mean, pull
not,
the
not
ball?
Even try. Well, for me, for a right-hander, hit it to left field. Now I just bounce the ball right up the middle.
But you got to learn how to. I mean, hitting the softball, it takes a little more technique, because I play 12-inch softball now. This 16-inch, so it's a bigger ball.
Yeah,
slow pitch and all that.
Yeah.
So you gotta be able to step, and you gotta can't use your wrist at all. You gotta swing with your whole body.
Turn your hip.
Do you ever play?
Yeah, I played.
I mean,
softball.
Softball. Do you
12-inch softball?
But do you play now?
No, I don't play now.
No.
No, I don't.
Do you ever get the urge to hit a ball
with
a bat?
Kind of baseball.
Any ball with a bat.
Baseball.
Well, not a baseball, maybe softball.
Yeah.
Anything.
No.
They go in a batting cage.
No, they asked me that the other day. You know, they gave me a bat. Swing. I don't know how to do it. I mean, just,
maybe you can try, the other side.
30 years ago, I don't know how to do it. I mean, after you get a little bit more development, your skills changes a lot. You're just slower and all of that. And so I've gotten a lot of that. Your vision changed a lot and all of that. So I kind of accepted that, you know.
Did you, how young were you when you took a bat into your hands and you hit a ball with it and you really enjoyed it?
I was 17 years old in Amarillo, Texas.
17 was the first time the first time you enjoyed it?
Baseball. I played softball, and I went to baseball when I was 17 in Amarillo, Texas. You ever heard of Amarillo?
Yeah.
That's amazing that you were that old. We were playing basketball as a younger kid or another sport?
I played basketball. But they didn't have a lot of sports in the school I went to. They didn't have no baseball in the school I went to.
You know what Amarillo means in Spanish?
Huh?
Amarillo.
Amarillo.
Means yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah. Anyway, so how is it possible that so as a little kid, you weren't playing?
No.
No?
No, I didn't play.
That's amazing.
I used to be the bat boy for my dad's team, but I didn't play.
Now they start training children in the womb, before they're born.
That's
right. Their parents know that they want them to be a baseball player, so they expose them then.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
That's correct. No, it's not. I mean, I heard this about people, and my dad mentioned this to me years after I was born. I mean, your parents, when your mother is carrying you, they know that you're a special child before you're born.
Yes.
So my dad was like that. He knew I was a special child before I was born.
It's amazing. In what way? Like, what did he...
Just a special child, you know, just a blessed child, a child that things would happen to him. Pearl Bailey told me in St. Louis one time, I went in to hear her sing, and she was on a break. She looked at me and said, "You're going to be the first to do something." And I listened to her, and I was the first to do something. First to go to the All-Star Game with President Ford. I was the first to play golf with Warren Buffett and Bill Gates at Augusta National.
Wow.
I mean, just a lot of firsts. She said that. You're going to be the first to do things.
Wow.
And the same thing with the Cubs. I was the first black to play for the Cubs. So
that's amazing.
She said that. There are people that are, they could just see above everything. I mean, beyond everything. Have you met them?
Yes. I'm talking to one right now.
Huh?
I'm talking to one
right
now.
And it's not me.
And it's not Bob.
you came from a very large family, didn't you?
Yeah, family of 12, second boy.
Well, what did the other 11 say about your parents saying this about you?
What?
Or were they all special?
They didn't say anything. My mother, she just did everything right, cook, wash, clean, and that's all I saw her doing it, and my dad the same thing. And as I said earlier, they told me, "Ernie, just be satisfied with what you have, and miracles will happen." And that's where my life has been.
I'm going to remember that.
Be satisfied with what you have.
And miracles will happen.
That's right.
I love that quote.
Have you been to France?
Yes.
You know about the French people come all over the world cure their diseases.
Lourdes.
Lourdes. Yeah, you heard
Lourdes.
Of Lourdes?
Yes, yeah. The waters of Lourdes.
Yeah, people from all
have
over.
You been there?
Huh?
Have you been there?
No, I have not. I'd like to go there.
I'd
That's
like
the
to
next
go
way
there.
To go. You heard of it, Bob?
Absolutely, yeah.
Huh?
And Marianne's high school in Miami was named after that, right?
Yeah, Our Lady of Lourdes Academy.
Oh,
That's
yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to go there. People from all over the world come to that.
Oh, I like to go there too.
Sick and everything.
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
Let's go. Let's go. What's stopping us?
Let's go.
Let's just
take
go.
Two trips.
Let's go.
We're revisiting with an old friend tonight, Ernie Banks, on the WGN Sunday Night Radio Special. And that reminds me, do you ever go to a restaurant regularly, then you get distracted with new places and you kind of forget about your old favorite, then you go back again and you think, why haven't why haven't we been to this place? It's still great. It happened to Marianne and me last week with Nacional 27. It's actually even better than it used to be with their new menu, isn't it?
It's amazing. First of all, I used to, what I remembered most from Nacional 27, or shall we say Nacional 27, was the...
Show off.
The 27. That's 27. The 27, yeah. Was the mojitos, because the mojitos...
Mojitos.
Are the, you know, they put a real piece of sugar cane in it, you know, and it's like, it's really awesome. It's like not to be missed. But we went there and we had basically a tasting of so many different, I think we ordered every appetizer on the menu. They had these croquetas. Do you know what croquetas are?
Croquetas.
Yeah, exactly. That is, it's like, it's like a deep fried, lightly deep fried ball, I would say, of, you know, like in this case, it's it can be anything. But in this case, it's sweet potatoes, and they make it with bechamel sauce. It is like finger-licking good. Like right now, I want to stop and have... And have some. And
they're closed on Sunday, but you can go. Let's see, Monday through Wednesday till 9:30 p.m. in the evening, and then Thursday until 11. Friday night till 2 in the morning. Saturday night till 3 in the morning. And they do a dance thing late at night, don't they?
Yes, I know. And I know Bob that whenever Bob and I go to Nacional 27, Bob always makes a reservation for like 6 p.m. You know why? Because he's afraid that at around 9 or 10 o'clock. The tables start getting removed from the center of the restaurant, and it becomes a dance floor. Mm-hmm. And he is mortified at the idea of me making him go up and dance. Time we go, we have to go super early. I like to stay to salsa. Can you salsa?
Yeah.
Yes?
I can salsa.
Yeah.
Let's salsa. Let's go.
Nacional 27 is a Let Us Entertain You restaurant, and it's really a combination of ingredients from 27 countries comprising Central and South America and the Latino Caribbean islands. And I like those skewers.
The gaucho skewers.
Oh, man. Oh, fantastic shrimp seasoned like I've never had before, and they had steak on those and also scallops.
I ordered a steak. Right? Oh, we ordered shrimp and we ordered scallops. Yeah. And, that is just so incredibly great. And the chimichurri sauce that comes as a side along with this, it's like a spicy mayonnaise sauce. It's finger-licking good.
Uh-huh. Try the empanadas.
I know,
too.
You had the empanadas.
All right, it's in River North, Nacional 27.
So hungry.
325 West Huron. Check it out again. Back with Ernie Banks, the WGN Sunday Night Radio special. And go ahead, Marianne. Step up to the plate.
Let me tell you this real quick. James O'Toole is having a... game in Will County, and he invited me to come out there on May 31st. These are all the kids that play baseball all over the world, Canada and everywhere. So I'm going out to that to talk to the kids and get a chance to meet them and show them a little bit about how to hit and all of that. But those kind of things happen in my life when I'm still around a lot of kids, and they're very exciting to me.
It must be so great to be in a place in your life where you can actually do things that are meaningful to you.
Yeah, and help other people.
And help other people. What are the kinds of things you like to do?
What I like to do?
That are meaningful and help other people.
Well, I want to search for 5 kids and get them to MIT.
Now you've opened up a whole can of worms,
okay,
Marianne.
Tell
Good luck.
Me more. Wait, I want to know more about this. 5 kids who could actually
are good at math and science.
Are good at math and science, right? And but they can't afford to go to MIT,
yes,
perhaps, and they don't have the advantages that other people have.
Yeah,
and then
a sponsor.
And you would sponsor them.
I've got a sponsor for them, Rockefeller Foundation. They do a
You're
lot
kidding.
Of that.
So are you really on the search now for those kids?
Yeah.
How are you looking for them?
With different, you know, classes and, you know, just in the schools around. And
mm-hmm. You're putting the word out?
College, yeah, putting the word out.
And have you found any yet? Or are you just starting
your
search? A couple
that's not really qualified. You have to be real strong to get into MIT. You know
no
that,
kidding.
Bob?
Don't look at me.
Don't look at
algebra,
us or our kids
Algebra
either.
1, high school.
In Spanish, we say la mente.
La mente.
La mente.
Sí, la mente.
La mente.
You want to translate?
The mind.
The mind.
Yeah.
It's a la terrible mente. Thing to waste. We, we've got to say goodnight for now to Ernie Banks. It's always great catching up with you, Ernie. And
let's make plans now. We're going to France. You know that.
We're going to France?
We're going to France with Ernie.
Then a little side trip to meet the Pope. Yeah. what else are we going to do? We got
go
a lot
to Cuba.
Of plans.
We're going to Cuba together.
Uh-huh. We'll go to Cuba.
Do all that.
Yeah.
Let's get started after a break and a few final thoughts coming up. Good to be with you again, Ernie.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you, too.
Love
happy to
you,
see you.
Ernie.
Where's the little car I was in?
Oh, the little MG. I had a little red MG in the 70s. Used to go to the ballpark, gave Ernie a ride once.
Where
You've
is
heard
it?
That story,
how do you,
Mary.
How do you remember all
ago.
This?
Sold it to whom? I'd like to find it.
You know what? Just when you think Ernie's completely nuts, he'll remember something like that, and then you'll think, oh, my goodness, he really does have it together.
Then you sold it to whom?
I don't remember.
I can look it up.
All right. Well, let's do that after we're off the air.
It's a beautiful little call.
Tell Milt Rosenberg he's got an additional guest tonight. We'll be back with the final word on WGN after this.
When you think limo, think abs.
Promotional consideration for the Sunday Night Radio special is brought to you by AMS Limousine. For a great ride, dial 847-446-5148.
Will you stop saying dial? Nobody dials
anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. Dial. Call. Sorry.
It's the WGN Sunday Night Radio special, and we're wrapping up our hour with Ernie Banks, who just left. 81 years old now.
He's 81 years old, and he wants me to make Cuban black beans for him. And I am definitely going to take him up on that. Will he remember?
Well,
that
he'll
we
surprise
planned
you.
On it?
Yeah, he'll surprise you about that.
Oh my
and
God.
All I got to say is if he really shows up for a dinner at our house, and this is a great thing about baseball, it will be no different than when I was standing outside the players' parking lot in 1961 waiting for him so I could get his autograph. I'll have the same excited feeling.
Oh, yeah. And he probably will be as nice as he was back then, right? Because he's a real person.
He's always been that way.
A genuine person. He's just amazing. And really, what he was talking about, you know, all kidding aside, when he said, yeah, there are some people who are just like they can see something special in people. I mean, like he really is special. How do you even put that into words? I don't know
what. You can't. And this is what I said. And if you go to the Facebook fan page that the Fox has set up for me, you can see the one more thing. If you scroll down, it was about a month or two ago about appreciating Ernie now. Go to facebook.com/Bob Surratt, OMT. OMT for one more thing, and you can find it there. I'm proud
Bob,
of that one.
Also, it's on the Fox website.
MyFoxChicago.com.
Yes.
I guess that's easier, isn't it? I like to make things difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, thanks for listening. The WGN Sunday Night Radio special is produced and directed by, listen to this, Kristen Decker, Laura Ewan, and Katie Gibson.
Wow. I think
we
just add people to our roster.
Extension 720 is next.
Have a great Sunday night. We'll talk to you next week.